Welcome to A Break from the Grind. I'm your host, Jason, and this is my co-host, George. Say hi to the people, George.
Wiggle it. Just a little
Stop it.
No.
Don't you wiggle it at all.
I'm wiggling it just
Stop it. Stop it.
Just a little bit.
Stop it.
Just wiggle it.
All right.
A little bit.
Now I'm wiggling it. You won me over. Now I need to wiggle it, too.
I convinced you. You've been converted.
If you wiggle it long enough and it pops off, were you playing with yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you were.
So we're now into the second half of our interview with DP. The first half was about an hour and a half long. I don't know. It was for fucking ever. Jesus Christ, that guy can talk.
It's called long-winded. You think I'm long-winded? Yeah.
So this is the second half of the DP interview. We talk about lots of things. Mostly, I don't know what things we talked about because I haven't edited that portion and we recorded a week ago, so I can't remember what we talked about. Just know that there's probably a fuck you, Corey, in there somewhere.
And if there's not, fuck you, Corey. All right, next question is the World Series matchup this year. Again, this is an easy one. It's going to be the Red Sox and the Cubs. No need to dig into this one.
I'll go rematch. I'll go Cubs Indians.
Jason's trying to think of another baseball team.
I'll say the Durham Bulls and the guy from A League of Their Own. I don't know.
Nice.
The Rockford Peaches.
All right.
There's no crying in baseball.
Next one from is actually from Texas Chief. What question would you most like to be asked?
I think I would like to know if Elon is musky. Like if Mario Ruxin would ask that one more time.
Is this asking what question we want to get asked?
Yeah.
What question as either the host of the shows or the guest on the show would you like to be asked?
And my answer is I'd like Ruxin to ask me one more time if Elon's musky. Because he asks it every week and we skip it every week. I just said, fuck it, and put it out there. And then you should have seen George's face when I said it because he had no clue that was coming.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Creamy or chunky peanut butter? I don't know.
Creamy, obviously. You don't want them chewing.
They got a nibble, though, to get the little chunks, so it's a whole different deal.
I would like to be asked what my favorite vegetable is.
That happened. All right, so the next question, I guess, is just for me. So, George, you want to...
Yes. Two Drink Minimum wants to know, Mona, Trolls, or Sing? Can only watch one with your three-year-old. Which would it be?
So he asked me which one he should watch with his three-year-old, and here's the deal. My kids, luckily, don't watch any of that crap. Really, the only thing they watch, my son watches Paw Patrol. He's hooked on Paw Patrol. He's been hooked on Paw Patrol for like a year and a half. That's it. Like, I don't have to watch any of these movies at all. My daughter doesn't watch any of these movies. So we're going to have to do process of elimination. Actually, you know what we could do? We could do F, Mary Kill, Mona, Trolls, or Sing. But we won't.
No, I think we should.
So... I'm taking no, because like Mona's a kid and that's weird.
Okay.
So of watching those three movies, we'll go this way. The Sing commercials annoyed the shit out of me, so that one's immediately out. I've heard good things about the Troll Doll movie from friends of mine who say their kids can't get enough of it, but it's the fucking Troll Dolls. So I'm booting the Troll Dolls. Mona's about some Hawaiian kid or something. I don't know, but watch that one.
I haven't seen it, but last time I didn't speak up, you guys called me a dumb fuck, so I think it's Moana and not Mona. I'm just going to put it out there.
You're probably right, but
Moana.
We're both white.
I'm as white as both of you, and I know it's Moana. Fuck you both. And that's from Swag. Fuck off.
So, of the three movies, I've actually seen Moana, and that would have been my answer.
Fucking guy seen it and still mispronounced it.
No, I was mispronouncing it on purpose.
Okay.
No, I've seen Moana. It's got The Rock. It's actually a pretty entertaining movie. That would have been...
It's Disney. It's got to be good.
Yeah, that was my answer as well. I'm not into the Trolls. I've never even heard a Sing. Next question is, why is Texas Chief a fuckhead sometimes? The answer is because it's fun.
Why isn't he a fuckhead all the time?
He should be.
Next two drink question is worst first pitch you remember.
I will go with 50 Cent's first pitch. And I do have an answer for why he's a fuckhead sometimes. It's because he's a Chiefs fan, and he's sick and tired of getting the Niners leftovers, his whole fucking fandom. That's why he's a fuckhead sometimes.
Except they took your good quarterback and left you with Colin Kaepernick.
And what the fuck have they done with it? What have they done with it?
Made the playoffs.
At least when... You motherfuckers. Okay. So
they're not in contention for the...
They still have Alex Smith on their roster. How's Colin Kaepernick doing?
Hold on. Let's rapid fire this back and forth. You said that. Okay, hold on. Let me go with the next one. They're not in contention. Hold on. We're not talking to you now. They're not in contention for the first pick every year. George, your turn.
Alex Smith is still on the Chiefs.
Okay. They have a GM that's actually got experience. George, your turn.
Okay. They actually have a home fan base that comes to the games.
Okay, that was good. Let's see. They didn't run out the best coach they've had in a long time.
They didn't move their home games to Alcatraz.
They didn't have half their defensive unit retire the second they ran out their coach.
DP, are you still there?
I feel like Swagzilla would have sat through that.
Yeah, fuck you. Hey, listen, I'll take all that shit. All that shit's great. All that shit is amazing.
Yeah.
But now, that's past. That's in the past. I like Lynch. I think Lynch is doing a great job so far. We'll see what happens. I like the addition of Shanahan. We'll see. Like, I'm cool with it. I like Alex Smith. I hated Alex Smith, but I knew that it wasn't all his fault. They had seven different offensive coordinators he had to deal with when he was in Frisco. And when Jim got there, he did well. We moved him out because for this exact reason, he will never get you to the big game. If your goal is to be above 500 and never have a chance of winning a Super Bowl, then he's your fucking guy. But that's not what the goal is. And we've shit the bed. Like, Balky's gone. I'm glad he's gone. Frickin' Jed York is a piece of work. But at least I think we're headed in the right direction again. Trust me. So I grew up my whole life with them winning, and I freaking dealt with them losing for like 9 years, and it was brutal. And then I got a taste of success, and now it's like it's worse now, to be honest, because we were there and we fought for no reason and we're shitty again. You know what I mean? But
so you said John Lynch is doing a good job and they're moving in the right direction and all that, and that's amazing, and I almost want to agree with you, except for the fact that your starting cornerback just got arrested for abuse.
Yeah, and he got fucking axed in like an hour and a half.
And
he literally got
in the right direction.
Well, absolutely, because John Lynch has only been there for a short period of time. He hasn't really had a chance to establish a culture for the team. When Balky was a toolbox, every time someone did, and we're going to give him this, we're going to give him a chance. And what happened in 2-3 years, we had 14 players get arrested. Why? Because nothing ever happened to any of them. They took four drunk drivings and hit and runs and all this bullshit for Alden Smith. Dude, Tremaine Brock fucks up, hour and a half, bye. Saying, we're not going to put up with that bullshit. We'll see. We'll see if someone else.
Could it be because Tremaine Brock wasn't that good and Alden Smith was?
Hey, dude, he was our starting corner. And right now, we don't have the luxury of, hey, this guy is not the greatest. But no, so we're going to ask him. He was a starting corner for us. You know, it was what it was. Our defense is not our strong point. Our offense is not our strong point. We have to freaking figure something out. And he said, fuck it. We will fill that void somewhere else.
Hey, can I ask you?
I mean, it's a culture.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
How many jobs has John Lynch had evaluating talent?
This is his first GM spot.
Okay.
See, I don't hold that against him at all.
Hey, how many jobs has John Lynch had writing contracts?
He hasn't had any.
Okay. How many jobs has John Lynch had putting a team on the field?
Okay, here's my question to you. How many the same question that you just asked me, how many times did John Elway do those exact same things before he got the GM job in Denver and built a contender? He's a Stanford grad. John Lynch is an intelligent individual. It's always going to be someone's first time doing something.
Well, John Elway is the exception to the rule. So is it always somebody's first time as a GM? Yes, but that doesn't mean they didn't come up through player development or through the front office of several teams. They didn't start as a towel boy and then work their way up through an organization and become what they are.
So I just want to throw in real quick that Donald Trump's our president and he had no experience whatsoever.
And look what kind of shit-ass job he's doing.
He's doing a phenomenal job.
So, I mean, for every Shaq, there's 100 Kwame Browns is all I'm saying.
And I hear you on that, but at this point in the game, you don't know if Lynch is going to be Kwame Brown or Shaquille.
For every Kobe, there's a Darko Milicic.
I will choose the optimistic route in any situation, especially when it has to do with my Niners. I'm not going to sit there and say, "Oh, we've never been a GM before, so fuck us and throw us in a ditch."
Your ownership has had a recent track record that should provide you with lots of optimism.
So look at it this way, Jason. It can't get worse.
That's true.
I mean, they can't be worse.
So let me ask you, I know, and we jumped onto the 49ers, and it started out funny, and now we're just making you depressed.
I'm not depressed, though.
Why'd you hire him for 6 years? You got to pay him for 6 years.
Because basically it's saying you have time to rebuild the team that's 2014, a freaking laughing stock of the NFL right now. Saying, why would we give you a 2-year contract when the job can't be done in 2 years? If he ends up getting fired, they're going to pay. They would look at the art. They're still paying freaking Tom Sewell. They're still paying fucking Chip Kelly.
Hey, DP.
It is what it is. But
DP, just remind Jason that the Bucs are one of like two teams in NFL history to go a whole season without winning a game.
Oh, we almost went two seasons. Yeah, back when.
And how long did it take to turn the Bucs around?
3 years.
Okay, well, they gave him 6.
3 years. Yeah, they were in the... So we were in the NFC Championship game in, what, 79?
I don't know.
Before I was born. Before I was born, but yeah, it was just a couple years. We went winless in a time where they gave expansion teams nothing, and free agency was shit. And you got the worst players left over from...
Free agency, in a way, if you want to look at it like that, I mean, for the most part, free agency is shit almost every year. I think this year there was some, you know, highly coveted pieces, but for the most part...
Every year there's highly coveted pieces here and there. Back then, there wasn't. You were, like, locked into your team. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can run that up the flagpole all you want. All I'm saying is, in recent times, the 49ers went from contenders to 2-14 like that.
And if they come
in three, it took 3 years. And what they went 8-8. We were 8-8, 11-5, 5-11, and 2-14. Listen.
And if they come out this year, they win 5 games. They've more than doubled their win production from the previous year.
And another thing you have to understand, there was a lot of animosity and issues in management with our coach, with you know the locker room. It was a mess. And we had to do all those retirements. You can say what they you know it's because of him or him. Dude, no one's going to fucking forfeit millions of dollars just because the coach is a prick or Jed York's an asshole. Like, it's not going to happen. It was the perfect storm of implosion between Jed York and freaking Trent Baalke, Jim Harbaugh leaving, and the injury / retirement problem that we had. I mean, you can't ask for a shittier situation. Is it management's fault? I understand. I'm not an optimist, but I'm not a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? I know what's going on. I know what it means when a coach is getting shit on by an owner. Jed York needs to fucking pull his head out of his ass and figure out what's right for the team instead of his pocketbook. But, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. I like Shanahan. You know, the second he got the job in Frisco, I started watching their offensive scheme. That's all I watched. Dude, the guy's fucking good. He knows what he's doing. We'll see. Chip Kelly's scheme isn't great. Chip Kelly's scheme is fast. Chip Kelly's scheme is basic. That's why they go fast.
Chip Kelly's scheme is volume.
It's volume and it's simplicity. And the only way to run that volume is to make it easy on the players, which makes it easy on defenses. Defenses don't get beat because of the scheme. They get beat because they're tired. Shanny's scheme is great. He's multiple in his formations. He does a lot of stuff where he's, you know, setting strength one way, coming back the other way, pulling people from, you know, two back offense where he's pulling people out of the backfield, he's pulling wings from the other side of the field to create mismatches numbers wise on defense for the offense. I'm excited. I mean, it's not going to be like all of a sudden they're going to go 10-6, but if they give him time and we get the pieces and we make the right choices in the draft, we haven't made the right choices in the draft.
The draft is nothing more than a gamble. I mean, you come into the draft and you think there's short things, but I mean, there's those Trent Richardsons, there's those Jamarcus Russells. I mean, there's those Jared Goffs.
I'm going to stop.
I mean, there's guys
Stop. Everybody knew Jamarcus Russell shouldn't be number one.
There's those Doug Martins, you know, guys who they think they're going to be great.
I knew that as well.
And they're just not.
Everybody knew. By the way, Oakland wishes they got a year or two like Doug Martins put out. But okay, fine.
No.
He's had two good years in four. I mean, he's not Jamarcus Russell. Everybody knew Jamarcus Russell was going to be what Jamarcus was. They should have taken Megatron first.
Absolutely. Jamarcus Russell could have been a great player in the NFL, but he would have had to put his hand down in a 4-3 and rush off the edge. He's not a fucking quarterback. I'm being serious. I'm not fucking bullshitting you right now. He would have been a great rush end.
He would have been a great rush end. I 100% agree.
Listen, honestly,
you know,
he had the physical tools to be a decent quarterback in the league. Maybe not great. He had the physical tools to be great, but
they thought he was the next Dante Culpepper.
You know what he didn't have is the motivation to do it. And everybody,
and the ability to say no.
I remember leading up to that draft, watching them talk about him over and over again, and knowing Oakland was going to make the wrong choice because Oakland at that point always made the wrong choice. They took the flashy choice. Everybody knew the cream of that crop was Calvin Johnson, and they went ahead, and he fit a lot of Oakland's criteria, but they wanted a quarterback. They had the number one overall, and they decided to take Jamarcus. Everybody knew where that was going. You can't pretend like that dude was like...
No. Al Davis was mesmerized by 40 times. He was mesmerized. He didn't give a shit. If you were fast, he wanted to draft you.
Haywood Bay is proof of that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen... They have a chart, and this is probably 3 years old, before the new regime took over... But they have a chart of the Raiders' last five draft picks and the players that went after their pick and who they could have had on their team instead of who they actually drafted. Like, it's phenomenal. Like, I'm not saying, like you said, there's a lot of risk in the draft. And there's a lot of like, oh, we should have done this, we should have done that. But, you know, the likes of like Megatron and, you know, like Adrian Peterson and like all these players or whoever, they're amazing players that they could have gotten with their picks if they would have not been mesmerized by 40 times.
Yeah, but you can do that on any draft, saying, oh, we should have took this player over this one.
I mean, like Aaron Rodgers instead of Alex Smith.
Yes.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. But in Alex Smith's defense, would Aaron Rodgers have been Aaron Rodgers if he was put in Alex Smith's position where he had a new offensive coordinator every year? No. Alex Smith is a talented quarterback. He's very athletic. He can do some things. He's just not a risk taker. And that is what Aaron Rodgers, his mantra, his go-to, he's a fucking gunslinger. You know what I mean? And he's super mobile. But so is Alex Smith. Alex Smith is just a fucking scaredy cat. That's all it is.
All right. So I think we answered the worst pitch you remember question. No, I'll throw mine out because we'll get back to that question, the worst first pitch you remember. So I don't know how many people listen to Howard Stern out there. His producer throughout the first pitch, Gary Delabate, Google it. It is way worse than 50 Moana. Cents. It is way worse than 50 Cents. It's god-awful. So Google that.
I've never seen it, but I was in agreement with DP. It, definitely 50 Cent.
They're both awful. The only reason you could say 50 Cent is worse is because he's supposed to be like an athlete or, you know, in shape. And one's an in-shape rapper, so you throw that kind of a bad pitch and you get made fun of. The other's like a fat radio show producer, so you kind of expect less athleticism. But that pitch was
Agreed.
Awful. All right, so we're moving on to the next
Agreed.
Question about the 49ers. No.
I'll talk football with you guys all day long. Trust me, it doesn't bother me one bit.
We can't keep talking 49ers. It'll give me a headache. And we're down. So we started with like 7.5 listeners. We're down to 4. Only because we started talking about the 49ers.
And the Dolphins bring them in, right, George? they fucking flock to the fucking Dolphins, right?
Hey, made the playoffs, baby.
So, blah, blah, blah. All right, guys, let's focus. We're at like 3 hours already. Two drink minimum asks, will we have to do AJ Express's homework? We'll find out later. Two drink minimum also asks, what is the last movie you watched in the theater and at home? So, DP, go ahead.
Last movie I saw in the theater was Logan. It was outstanding. So then the last movie I saw at home, which this is a perfect setup because I'm fucking talking to Mr. Red Sox over here, is Patriot Day with Mark Wahlberg. And surprise, he's in a fucking movie based in Boston. But it was actually a really well-done movie. Yeah, it was good.
So there you are dissing Boston, and you're coming right back after saying it was a great movie. It was phenomenal.
It was a good movie. I like Mark Wahlberg. Come on, man. Who doesn't like Mark Wahlberg?
Everybody. Listen, all the Wahlbergs are pretty good. Mark, Donnie.
You like Donnie's your favorite, huh?
So he's in Blue Bloods, and I like the TV show Blue Bloods. So the last movie I watched in theater is The Great Wall. That was surprisingly really good.
Was that the Donald Trump story?
No, although it could have been. the last movie I watched at home, I actually watched yesterday. No, day before. I'm sorry. I watched it on Sunday. It was Talladega Nights. And I'll tell you what, that movie is good too.
Shake and Bake.
Shake and Bake. The Magic Man. You see me? No, you don't.
So the last movie in the theater I saw was Logan. Like you said, it was really good. The last movie I've seen at home was DP 10 Dicks.
That was a quality film, huh?
The last non-porn movie I've watched.
I worked hard on that flick, okay? You need to fucking relax.
I did relax. Laid back and enjoyed.
Many times.
Laid back and enjoyed. And then when I was done, I stopped it right where it was so I could pick up the next time. I only watch it in like 30-second increments. It's all it takes.
I'm that good, bro.
So the last movie I watched at home that wasn't DP was Lincoln. It was on HBO the other day.
That's another good movie.
And it's slow, but man, it's really well acted.
Yep.
So Daniel Day-Lewis was awesome in that movie. And so was Tommy Lee Jones.
All right. I think we're all going to be in agreement on this next question. Disney or the Keys for family vacation? I'm guessing we're all going to agree with the Keys.
I disagree. I say the Disney.
I'm not the smartest man. Can you clarify the question? Go to Disneyland or the Keys to some family vacation trip? Is that what he's asking?
That's correct.
Yeah, if you were going
to
go to...
True Drink wants to know if he take his family on a vacation. Does he go to Disney or does he go to the Florida Keys?
I'll say the Florida Keys because I live in Southern California and I've been to Disneyland 50,000 times. So I would much rather go to the Keys.
Yep, same here.
Listen, the Keys are nothing but bullshit and Jimmy Buffett, and neither one of those is worth going to.
No, that's not true. There's so much stuff you can do down in the Keys with your family. You don't even have to go down there to drink. You can go offshore fishing. You can go diving. They got all types of historical museums down there. There's just so much you can do there. Disney. That's like exactly Disney.
No, so you go to Disney, you bring your kids to Disney, and then there's Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure.
Nope. He didn't say Universal Studios. He didn't say Islands of Adventure. Well, Disney.
If you're going to spend multiple days, okay, fine, he said the Keys. That means you can't go offshore.
That's part of the Keys. He didn't say other fucking theme parks that are a different brand that aren't even related to Disney.
You mean the theme park that's like 20 minutes down the road and you can go
It's not Disney. Universal is a completely different owned theme park than Disney. Now, had you would have said the Magic Kingdom, had you would have said Animal Kingdom, had you would have said Epcot, I'm completely good with that. But no, you started naming off other theme parks that were not on the list.
Listen, if you spend a week on vacation in Orlando, it's not a stretch of the imagination that you're going to go to Disney, you're going to go to Epcot, you're going to go to the animal one, whatever the fuck that thing is, and then you might
Animal Kingdom.
There you go. You might shoot over to SeaWorld. You probably jump into Islands of Adventure. I don't care what he said here. He's in Orlando for a week on a family vacation.
He those were not the options.
Listen,
he said Disney or the Keys. There's much more to do in the Keys than there is to do in Disney.
There's a lot more things to do in Orlando where Disney is than there is to do
I understand
in the Keys.
That. Now, if he would have said,
and look,
do
you
I
can
go
to the Jimmy Buffett?
Do I do
if you're really into that bullshit,
parks?
You can go to the. If you're into that bullshit, there's a Jimmy Buffett restaurant.
If he would have said multiple theme parks in Orlando, I would change my answer to Orlando. The only one he gave, he was very specific. He said Disney.
Yeah, well.
So I'm going to take the Keys where you could do a lot more different things. You can go out, catch your own lobsters, turn around, cook them, and eat them.
No, you can't.
If you know people that live down there, you can. but there's a lot more to do in the Keys than there is at Disney alone. Now, if you're opening it up to other theme parks in the area, if you're opening it up to Busch Gardens, going over to Tampa, if you're talking about going to Cocoa Beach or Daytona Beach because it's only 45 minutes away, okay, I'm going to change my answer. But that wasn't the question he gave us. The question was Disney or the Keys.
Yeah, well, it's your fault for sticking to the question.
I'm sorry I answered the fucking question that was asked.
And so is he, because you're not.
Did you talk shit on? Did you talk shit on Jimmy Buffett earlier?
Fuck yeah,
he did. Which leads us into our next question.
Wait. The shittiest. I'm gonna tell the Jimmy Buffett story here.
Hold on, Jason. Hold on one second. Go
ahead.
Let's do the next question because it leads right in. Okay, literally it leads right in.
Okay.
Next question from Raven Mad. Music? Question mark. Jason, do you like Jimmy Buffett?
No.
Why don't you tell me a story why you don't like Jimmy Buffett?
No, it's not a story, but I mean, I don't like Jimmy Buffett because his music's like lame, boring, simple, and stupid. Plus, he ruined the Keys. I worked for the Space Shuttle program. And for the last launch, I worked off-site, so I wasn't out at KSC all the time when they launched. So for the last launch, we all went out and we watched the last launch because it was, you know, historic and special and we were all going to lose our jobs. So we all went out to see it. So afterwards, there was a big celebration, kind of a, hey, we did it. We made it to the end of this program kind of celebration going on. And, you know, in the background, you can hear some music. And so you're walking towards the VAB where the music was playing. And you know, you get a little louder. And I'm like, motherfucker, there's some bullshit Jimmy Buffett cover band playing here at the VAB on this celebration. It's going to, like, ruin my enjoyment of this moment of me knowing I'm going to lose my job soon. So I get up there.
Surprise!
I get up there. Not only is it some... It's not some bullshit Jimmy Buffett cover band. It's just bullshit Jimmy Buffett. Totally ruined my whole celebration. I left. I was like, I can't handle this. I'm losing my job and I got to listen to Jimmy Buffett.
Jason's saying is he has terrible taste in music. So
what's music? Do we like music? Is that what Raven Matt's asking? I love music.
I'm guessing he's just asking what kind of music we listen to. I feel like we addressed this on the last podcast that Raven Matt can go download. Yeah.
I remember answering the music question and I think the podcast question when Swagzilla was on last time.
Yes, you can find this on all of our old episodes. All you have to do is just go down, click the download button, and you can listen to the older episodes where this was addressed. Next question is Dolphins, Bucks, or Jags more wins? I'm going to say right now two of those teams are going to make the playoffs next year. And it's not going to be the Dolphins. I'll go on a limb right now and say we're not going to make it back to the playoffs. I think the Bucs will make the playoffs. I think the Jags will make the playoffs.
I say the Bucs probably have the most wins out of those three teams. For me, the Jags are a question mark. I don't know what's going to happen with them as far as, you know, Blake getting on point. And their defense looks good on paper, but, you know, what they look like and how they play are two different things. So
I'll say this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the Bucs are going to have the most win. Plus, that division is very winnable, so should be interesting, but I say Bucs.
I'm going to say it right now, the Jaguars will make the playoffs. I'm on the record. I said that earlier in the year. I like them in their division. Their defense is, not only does it look good on paper, but the last five games last year, they were like one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're getting healthy. They've signed AJ Boye. They've signed Calais Campbell. They've made some hell of a good moves on their defense. I think they're going to be a running. I wouldn't be surprised if they either draft a running back early, or if they bring in somebody like AP or even Jamal Charles. to try to shore up that backfield, even on the short term. But I think the Jaguars, with their division, I mean, I think that's an easily winnable division. You got the Texans, you got the Colts, the Jaguars, and I forget who else is in the division.
The Titans.
I think Jaguars can easily win that division.
I'm going to say the Jaguars have the most wins. Their division is probably the easiest of all the divisions between the three. And that's saying something because the Dolphins play with the Jets and the Bills.
We also get the Patriots.
Twice, okay. But you get four games against the Jets and the Bills.
Yeah, but you know how it is with rivalry games. Records go out the window.
The Falcons are still going to be good this year, I think. You know that. So the Bucs playoffs, I'm not sure. Here's the thing. I like the Bucs. I like what some of the moves they've made. I think DeSean Jackson will help. I like the Chris Baker signing a lot on the defensive line. And as much as I like Jameis Winston's fire, his passion, his leadership, his accuracy really has to improve.
Did you say his leadership?
Yes.
So apparently you missed the high school interview he gave, huh?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, that's great leadership. That's what you want from your team leaders.
Who cares? Leadership on the field. He was taken out of context.
Taken
out of context and then blown out of proportion.
No, it was not.
Did you just say convict?
Yes, taken out of convicts. And
well, he is from FSU, so.
So, I mean, it was taken out of context nonsense. But I like him. He needs to improve his accuracy. The Dolphins still play with the Patriots in their division, so even though they get to play with the Jets and the Bills, you know, they're fighting for a wild card every year.
Every year
they're fighting for a wild card. So it's hard. That's hard for them. Really, the only thing I want you to take away from this whole answer I'm going to give you is that the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead with 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. And that's all, as a Bucs fan, that I want you to remember from this answer.
All right, next question is from DJ the Grim. He wants to know, how many Skittles can Marshawn Lynch fit in his mouth, and who can hold more, Jason, DP, or myself?
I think the answer is DP. He took 100 dicks.
Oh, as this question's being read, I'm like, God, fucking Blackzilla is a done deal right now.
How many can Marshawn? I don't know how many he can hold. All I know is he'll be there just so he doesn't get fined.
Yep, and he'll be there the whole time, boss.
I think you can take them all, however many that is.
So are you a Skittles fan? Like, do you enjoy Skittles? Do you like Skittles?
I do. I like Skittles. I don't enjoy anything sweet right now because I'm on a diet. I'm trying to slim down, get my girlish figure back to its plain weight. But I do like Skittles.
I don't personally care for them. I don't. It's not a knock on Skittles. I mean,
George, we're not going to lose candies, a Skittles sponsorship. They weren't thinking about it.
We could get a Skittles sponsorship.
Skittles there when you need us.
Yes. Another question from Two Drink. First sports memory. Jason, you go first. DP, then I'll go last.
So being in Florida, we have spring training. I don't remember who they were playing. So growing up there, when we grew up in Florida, there was no baseball teams here that were ours. Most people liked the Braves because they were close, liked the Cubs because they were on WGN, so they were on TV all the time. The first game I went to was the Toronto Blue Jays versus, and I can't remember whoever it was, my dad took me. First at bat I can remember is George Bell hitting a home run while I was in the stands. So my favorite team when I was growing up was Toronto Blue Jays because of that home run, and my favorite player was George Bell.
Mine was, I remember sports stuff, but like the most like vivid sports memory to me was, the 88 Super Bowl Niners versus Bengals, John Taylor's touchdown catch with, you know, 30 seconds left in the game. I was watching with my dad in his living room. It was just him and I, we weren't at a big Super Bowl party. We were just hanging out, watching the game. I remember watching freaking Joe just matriculate him down the field and fucking go for number, what was that, third Super Bowl ring? So it's pretty vivid memory.
What I like about this question is, you know, everybody's got like these great memories. You know, when I was a kid, my dad took me to, you know, baseball game. My favorite player was up to bat and he hit a home run in his first at bat.
Well, I'll cut in and say he wasn't my favorite player until I saw him hit the home run, and that's how I latched on to him. But okay,
and that's fine. But you get what I'm throwing. You know, you're catching what I'm throwing. You know, DP's was obviously, you know, 49ers, you know, growing up, getting to watch them in the Super Bowl and whatnot.
I'm going
to
cut you off again. If you're about to tell a molestation baseball story, I'm going to have to just stop you.
My favorite. So I actually have two favorite memories, and I couldn't pick one.
Does one of them have Sandusky in it?
No.
Is that a possibility?
Oh, is no. the school Corey's son's going to Penn State?
No. So I don't have those fond memories as a child growing up. I wasn't, you know, a whole lot into sports growing up. My family wasn't really into sports growing up, so I don't have those memories of where my dad took me to a baseball game or to a football game, or we sat down and watched, you know, football on the TV, and I got some vivid memory. I don't have that experience. So I have two very vivid memories that I do remember, though. One was when the Orlando Magic drafted Shaquille O'Neal. That's when I became a Magic fan. My other one, and it probably takes precedence over that one, is back in 2003 when the Red Sox came back from an 0-3 deficit to crush the Yankees. You know, that's really near and dear to my heart.
I mean, dude, you were like 23 at that point.
It was very emotional, Jason. It was one of the greatest comebacks in history.
But that's not the... Everybody has to stop here for a goddamn second.
I don't remember much before that.
Everybody quiet. So I can't make the leap to
Fuck
Universal
you,
Studios in Orlando because you want to stick right
you,
to the fucking question.
Fuck you, George.
You, on the other hand, are talking about your first sports memory being at 23. The only
fuck you,
way, and I know, DP's on here saying "fuck you, George" because it was against the Yankees.
Because fuck you, George. Fuck George.
But
because George, in every question, like you said, like you're saying right now, Jay, every question. Well, that's not the fucking question. That's not the fucking question. All of a sudden, Georgie Porgy wants to go off the fucking script because he wants to talk shit to me about the 0-3 freaking collapse.
Okay, fine.
Well,
If we're going to talk about some of the best sports memories, here's what I'll go. The best sports night that I can remember in a good long time, especially baseball related, was the night where Boston was playing the Orioles and Boston needed to get in. And they had blown a historic lead into the playoffs.
And that's fine.
And the Rays were playing the Yankees and had to win. And both games went into extra innings. And at the same...
I remember this.
At basically the same fucking time, the Red Sox blew it and the Rays won. That was magic.
That.
And that's fine. But let me ask this. Did I not say that one of the greatest memories I had was back in 1994? When the Magic drafted Shaquille O'Neal? So I did answer the question. I was just taking a roundabout way to throw some jabs and to remind DP that the Yankees lost a 3-0 lead to the Red Sox in the ALCS.
Fuck off.
Here's the thing, though. It's really... Look, I know you guys have won a couple times lately. It's really hard to jab at the Yankees, though. How many you guys have now?
We got
27.
No, not you.
Yeah.
Red Sox.
Well, yeah. 27.
You said Yankees.
27 to how many, George?
Yeah.
6-7.
We got more recently. It's like Cowboy fans. It's like Cowboy fans.
Dude,
it's like San Francisco 49er fans. What have you done for me recently?
How many?
You did this on the app. You said two decades. As I recall, the Yankees won it in 09, right? Mm-hmm. And in the last two decades, they've won four because one of them is 1 year out of two decades.
Well, no.
The 96 championship.
So it's three because you can't. If you say two decades, you can't count 21 years. I mean, really. Let's be honest.
But they have five. They have five. The first one they won in that just historic fucking dynasty run was 96. So I moved that one out. 96 is not included.
Okay.
Right. So it was 98, 99, 2000.
Yep.
And then 2009. So we have. Four in the last two decades, which you said you were like the fucking Cowboys. Fuck off.
You got a question. How many 0-3 leads have you lost in the last 20 years?
You are a dirty cocksucker, George. So you know that. I remember watching that shit, and it was like, it was torture. It was like, there was no way that this is going to happen. because a couple of those games were close games. I think the Red Sox beat our ass one time in that run. I think one of the games was just a whooping.
It was actually the last game. The last game
was just a blowout.
Game 7 was a blowout. I think.
But the other three were like down the last couple innings.
So that was probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest series in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, you can't write a script where a team gets up 3-0 and then the other team come back and in that fashion where the games are really close, except for game 7. They were so close. Anybody could have won.
And not to mention that it is one of the most historic rivalries in all sports. So that even added to the fact that it was, you know, this epic freaking showdown. I mean, I get it, dude. It was painful, though. I will say it was a rough go for about a week.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely amazing. And I bust your balls just because it's fun.
I wonder if it's as rough as losing a 28-3 lead with 3 minutes left to go in the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I've never seen my team in the Super Bowl.
I've seen your team in the Super Bowl.
I have not. It's kind of depressing.
How old are you?
And I got their fucking asses kicked. I'm 40.
Oh, you've seen, you saw Dan Marino.
I saw Dan, and that's why I didn't put that stuff in my first true sports memory, because I remember vividly where I was and what happened when Joe Montana threw that pass. The Dan Marino-Joe Montana showdown, I mean, I was 8. And when you're 8 years old at a Super Bowl, you're not really watching the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? You're running around being a fucking kid. So, you know, I was 11 or 12 when the Niners played the Bengals the second time. So I remember it, you know. But fuck your Dolphins.
So we're at an hour and 40 minutes.
We're gonna wrap this up. We're almost done. We got a few more questions.
Yeah, I have to piss like a racehorse, and my wife's probably fucking cursing my name because I got a bark.
Well, do me a favor. Don't piss on your fence. We've had that happen already.
All right, so the next question is from Texas Chief. If you could punch one person in the face as hard as you want, how hard would you punch 2 Drink Minimum?
I wouldn't punch 2 Drink Minimum. I like him.
If you asked me this question like 5 minutes ago, my answer might have been different, but right now I'd probably punch George right in the fucking face.
And then when you're done, I'll punch him as hard as I can. How about that?
Just do it.
I'm actually more afraid of DP than Jason. I don't think Jason punches very hard.
I actually do punch very hard. It's
yeah,
slow.
You punch your clown pretty hard.
It's
Jason,
slow.
Jason's one of those guys, when you go to shake his hand goes limp.
I don't shake George's hand very hard because I don't want to break his hand.
Yeah, that's it.
The next question is, DJ the Grim asks, is if Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen ran a 100-meter dash, who would finish first?
No, I think it was... I think the question was, who gets injured first?
My answer to this question would be neither, because they'd both make it about 60 yards and end up on the fucking turf.
Yeah, so the original question was, who would get injured first? I'm going to go with Sammy Watkins.
I'll say Sammy gets injured, wouldn't get to the race, hurts himself getting in the car.
I'd say Keenan Allen, because let's talk about this. Has Keenan Allen gotten hurt the last 2 years? Last year was first half.
One
year before that, wasn't it like game 5?
So one of his injuries was just a freak accident. It wasn't even football related. I mean, I think it was his spleen burst or something like that. And that's not something that you can do anything about. It's not like he pulled the hamstring or anything like that. Now, the year after he came back, he got injured in his very first game.
But Sammy Watkins has been hurt every year he's been in the league.
Yep,
so
that's why my answer was Sammy Watkins.
It's the same. You can't trust Sammy Watkins.
I learned that last year.
I told you that repeatedly last year.
And then the one time I benched him, he had a great fucking game.
That's why you can't trust him. So FFL.
Yeah, I actually, that's one of the only like good players I have on that team that I took over.
Trade him.
I'll give you Kevin White for him.
Trade him. Trade him. Trade
him. That makes sense.
Trade Sammy Watkins.
For Kevin White.
Not for Kevin White.
Okay. Anyway, FFL Addict wants to know, if we haven't been visited by people from the future yet, does that mean time travel will never be invented? The answer is no. It just means we're in a boring time and nobody wants to come here. We're barbarians.
No one gives a shit about 2017. The 80s were pretty badass, though. I think they might want to time travel back to that shit.
Maybe they do time travel back to the 80s and just not.
But we're not there anymore.
Not back currently. I mean, no, the '80s were great. So
they just don't.
Why
tell
would
us.
They come here? They just go back to the '80s. Yeah.
They just don't tell us they're time travelers. They get dressed up, pretend they don't see themselves, go see their parents before they were together, end up at a dance, punch a guy named Biff.
I was like, where the fuck is he going?
Oh,
with this?
I knew exactly where he was going with this.
So I'm all Back to the Future.
That movie was really just a false flag, just getting us ready for the idea of time travelers.
Yes.
That's all that was.
And they meet Chuck Berry, which is kind of cool.
I'm almost convinced the writers and the creators of The Simpsons are actually from the future.
Maybe time traveling gives you the shakes.
Oh, that's fucking terrible.
I was watching George's. I was watching George's face as he figured out where that was going.
Oh, that's terrible.
Next thing you know, you're gonna be making a fucking Syrian gas joke or some shit, you asshole.
Why would I do that when Sean Spicer just came out and said, "Well, the Germans didn't gas their own people."
Yeah, Sean Spicer, that was terrible. That was just absolutely brutal.
It's not like they walked up into chambers and gassed them, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't gas their own people.
They didn't gas their own people. No, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, like, they didn't literally just throw bombs on their cities. No, you fucking idiot. They walked them into a chamber against their own fucking free will and gassed them in there.
They put them on trains and then just, like, released gas and then took them off the trains.
We're going on a vacation. Here, go to sleep.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, Sean Spicer. He's
well-oiled machine over there at the White House.
Listen, that had nothing to do with the White House. That had absolutely everything to do with an idiot comment.
Where does he work?
Doesn't matter where he works.
It's a well-oiled machine.
So if you go out in public and make a stupid comment, does that fall back on the factory? No.
But I wasn't... If I'm wearing a factory shirt, speaking for the factory at the time I say it, yeah, it kind of falls back on the factory.
Not if it's off-script.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying, is what we want you to do, and if you go off script, it's really...
If I go out there...
really, you know, it's
if I
your
go
fault.
Out there as a representative of the factory, and I make a statement like that, yes...
You would be fired.
Especially if I was the spokesperson for the factory.
And you would be fired, like he should be for that comment, because that was terrible.
I won't call for his firing.
Oh, I would.
It was a dumb comment. Look, he should have been fired a lot. I mean, he should have been fired a long time before now. It's only 2 months in.
No.
He said a lot of dumb shit already.
He said a lot of dumb stuff, but there's lines, and he crossed the line with that one.
AJ, don't listen to George's bullshit. He could have fucking fired you from this podcast a long time ago, and you say stupid shit all the time, and he hasn't. So don't listen to him one bit.
He can't fire me. He didn't know how to edit shit.
That is so not true.
Plus, half of the shit's mine. I just take half of it with me.
Half of it's mine. I want half the mixer.
I'm going to cut the mixer right in half.
I'm going to piss my pants. I'm going to piss my pants, just so you guys are aware of this.
Excellent. That's our goal.
Stay online and tell us when you're doing it. All right.
So next question is from Trademaster. If the questions are so great, will the podcast still be as enjoyable as a violent hand job when you're in the mood to take it slow? I just say some people are into that stuff.
I mean, guy who gives violent hand jobs to himself all the time, I'm always in the mood for that.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with a violent hand job. People enjoy it.
Jay, as a guy that gets violent hand jobs during the podcast from his co-host, I think you got this one on lockdown.
Yep, exactly.
Sleeperwire wants to know, what if the lottery was only invented to catch time travelers?
Then it's failing.
It is absolutely failing because most of the people who win the lottery end up broke.
Well, and if that was the case, then they wouldn't let you randomly pick numbers.
This is true.
Swagzilla asks.
True, that is true.
We're trying to get you out of here, bud. Swagzilla asks, should Sleeperwire's sperm be worth more than his?
I think they're both useless. I don't think either one needs to reprocreate. Just no. Don't do it.
And then AJ, this is the last thing. AJ asked us a bunch of homework questions like last time, and the answer is do your own homework, AJ. Do it. Just
do your own fucking homework, AJ.
Listen, you're not Corey's son. You don't have colleges coming after you. You have to do better than 2.0.
Yep.
Do your own homework.
Yep. You need at least a 3.
And show your work, bud. Show your work.
Yeah, and fuck you, AJ, for making us do your homework. Never.
So that ends the questions and answers portion of our show. I'm going to go back up to the show notes to see what is next.
It says more BSing.
All right, so we've BSed enough during the questions and answers, and I'm going to go ahead and let us skip that so his bladder doesn't just pop. We don't need DP to burst.
Listen, I mean, we would make the news and get a little publicity if it did.
Man dies today doing podcast when bladder bursts.
People would just tune in to listen to actually hear the bladder burst.
I'd put that on repeat. All right. So now,
I'm being silent because I'm at the point where I'm going to piss all over the place and I can't even speak.
So at this point, we're supposed to be thanking you for being a guest on the show. So hey, DP, thanks for coming on at last minute. It was awesome for you to do that. It's appreciated for you and your bladder to be here.
my bladder thanks you for ending this podcast sooner than later. Otherwise, it's going to rupture on actual air.
So besides your penis, do you have anything you need to plug?
I'm on the Fancy Life app as at Darth Pikeye. Also, Twitter at Darth Pikeye. I'm at Darth Pikeye on every social media platform. So any of you guys that want a really boring follow, jump on.
All right. And so for us, you can catch us on the Fantasy Life app. I'm at Dr. Mill.
I'm at Geo.
You can reach us at bftgpodcast@gmail.com.
You can get us on Twitter at bftgpod.
You can go to our website, www.bftgpodcast.com.
And we would like to thank you for taking a break from your daily grind. DP.
Hey, DP. DP.
What's up?
Think of Niagara Falls. Yeah.
Oh, I've been thinking about Niagara Falls for about the last 25 minutes.
Drip. Drip.
Hey.
Drip.
So if I hang up on you right now, is this going to fuck anything up?
Read the show notes. It says stay on the line.